Hello. Good afternoon, everybody. This is Ross Foreman with Global Force Wrestling. Welcome to this week's media teleconference. It's a pleasure to welcome two men from our front office who have a combined 75 years of experience in professional wrestling.
Stop it.
Bruce Pritchard and Dutch Mantel. Welcome to the weekly teleconference.
The recording has started.
Before we get going, one bit of information I did want to share with everybody. We are happy to announce that Bobby Lashley will be going to compete in AAA's Triple Mania on August 26th. Triple Mania is, of course, the biggest show of the year in Mexico. So we're happy to announce that Bobby will be attending that and participating. So at this point, we will open it up, say hello from Bruce and Dutch, and then we'll open up for some questions. Bruce, how's it going for you today?
Hello, everybody. This is Dutch. I'm glad you can make it. Glad to talk to you.
And my God, this is Bruce, and I echo those sentiments.
Perfect. We will open it up for questions, and all I ask at this point is when you would like to make a question, you hit star six. We ask also that you ask one question and one question only because we have a lot of people looking to speak to Bruce and Dutch, and please don't request for a second question until we've gone through, and I will let you know when we can ask for a second question. So please, again, limit it to one question and one question alone for Bruce and Dutch.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. Go ahead with your call. Your question.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, actually, not morning. This is Big Ray for OneWrestling.com, One Wrestling Video. How are you all? Can you hear me okay?
Hello, hello.
Hello, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you great. Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you very good, very
okay.
Well, Mr. Pritchard.
All right. Doing great, man.
Can you hear me, Big Ray?
I can hear you, Mr. Mantel. Yes, sir. I can hear you, Mr. Mantel. All righty. So this is a question that I've been asked by a couple of fans, actually, over the last couple of weeks regarding, and I had asked Mr. Jarrett this question as well, regarding the future of Global Force Wrestling and basically the type of programming we're going to be seeing in the next couple of weeks or the next couple of months or even the next couple of years. There was a segment recently where we had Conan, and he had Dos Caras, captured, and he had a pair of wire cutters, which was, entertaining for someone, along my age who ranges between 35 and 45. But I just wanted to know if, again, I had asked Mr. Jarrett if we were going with a more kid-friendly type programming or if this was going to be the constant regarding a more edgier program, which I personally do enjoy.
Well, are you directing that at me or Bruce or both of us?
Either or would be fantastic. I appreciate.
Okay. Well, I think we're gonna go to programming that is conducive to viewership, and as far as more edgier, that is a possibility, but it's not necessarily the way we're going to go. Conan having a pair of wire cutters. That's Conan. That's his personality coming forth, and I think he's adding a touch of realism to it that I think in some products may be a little missing. But I think if you want real, you talk to Conan for 5 minutes on air, you're going to get what Conan is really like. I mean, sometimes people play a character, sometimes people are the character. And I think Conan, if you're describing me accurately what he did, you got true Conan, which I think is a plus for the industry.
Once again, when you ask a question, if you please identify yourself and your outlet, and please let us know who your question is directed to, either Bruce or Dutch.
Hello, my name is Tommy McArdle from ringscoops.com, and first off, Mr. Dutch Mantel, I'd like to thank you for your service to the United States military, sir.
It's appreciated. Thank you very much, sir.
I've worked with Jesse Hernandez out here in Southern California as a play-by-play commentator for about 6 years now. And next year, I'm going to be graduating from Cal State San Bernardino with a bachelor's in communications. And I would love to expand my commentary career, maybe one day work for Global Force Wrestling. My question is directed to both of you. What advice would you have for somebody like me in advancing my career as a play-by-play commentator in the world of professional wrestling?
Learn how to tell stories. Learn how to tell stories concise and be able to allow yourself the opportunity to get talent and tell a story in front of you over versus trying to get yourself over, and try to stay away from doing radio for television. That's the best advice I can give to anybody coming out that wants to be a play-by-play guy. Tell stories.
Well, Tommy, what I would say is more along the lines of that, and I would do it if I'm an independent group. If you can start working with them, and you're not going to get this overnight. Announcing, on-air announcing and commentary is an art form, just like wrestling, and you don't learn it in a year. You don't learn it in 2 years. You may have a talent for it, but the more you do it, the better you will become. And I wouldn't try to get any kind of a job before you think you're ready. I mean, that's the problem with a lot of wrestlers. They try and say, well, I'm good enough to move up to the next level, but in reality, they're not. But I respect everybody's desire to accomplish their goal in life. So I would go to an independent group, work with them, probably for $0, like we all did when we started. But if you have a love for it, then that's your payment right there. So go and get better, and then when you get ready to say you want to, if you can get a job with a bigger company, do a little sizzle reel of your commentating, and like Bruce said, get the talent over. Don't get yourself over. Call the action, and like Bruce said, tell a story. Learn to embellish and tell something that happened a little earlier, or sometimes it may not be exactly true, but we're talking about pro wrestling. Try to make your commentary stand out from the match. That's the best advice I can give you.
Hello to both of you. It's Dan from TWS Radio. My question actually comes from one of our listeners. They emailed in asking whether both of you could confirm what your day-to-day roles actually are within GFW and how they vary or change in comparison to your on-screen roles.
Okay, I'll go first on that. Essentially, I'm a talent, but also I've been asked to come in and help consult behind the scenes. And I'm kind of used as a sounding board for everybody at GWF. I've done it all in the wrestling business, and I'm simply there to help and hopefully watch the company grow from years of experience. So my main role would be that as a talent. And beyond that, I'm also a consultant, as Dutch knows, not afraid to give my opinion. And that's it.
And then what's up with you, Tommy? Dan, are you there?
No, we're under the... If you could just answer the question, then we'll move on.
Oh, because I'm going to answer the question. Okay, Dan, my role is much like Bruce's. I operate in a consultant capacity. And I consult on various issues, creative and TV and whatever I'm asked. And I was probably one of the first, when the new regime took over, I was probably one of the first one they contacted. And I was talking to them for, I don't know, several months before the change was made. Right now, looking back, it's a very positive environment. And you got to remember one thing about anything in life, it's a work in progress. And we're striving every day to make this a better product for not only the talent, but for our TV partners and for the fans. And that's what we work toward each and every day.
Hi, this is Jeremy Walker from Real Sport. This is a question for Dutch. I think I speak for a lot of people when I say that I really enjoyed the work that you did with Jack Swagger in WWE. Just wondering if there are any plans to bring him into the company and possibly rekindle that partnership.
Well, I talk to Jack. Not all the time, but I talk to him every couple of weeks. And since he left WWE, yes, he has expressed an interest. I've expressed an interest in him. But I think he was on the road for 10 years in WWE, and I think right now he's enjoying his time off. But the question is, I'm very interested in bringing him in. I think he's a great, great talent. I think he's a great in-ring performer. But even better than that, Jack, he's a great guy to be around. A great athlete, and he's a good friend. I think you might possibly see him in GFW pretty soon.
Hey, guys, this is Dan Moratti with Boston Wrestling Sports. Hope you're doing good. 2017 is an interesting time for the genre overall. Fans can access content anytime, anywhere, but in a lot of ways, the physical number of eyeballs watching the sport across the board might be the fewest in any time since television came to be. Are there any long-term plans to try and engage not only maybe lapsed Impact fans, but wrestling fans across the board that might really enjoy professional wrestling, but right now in 2017, they don't really have a product anywhere that they feel comfortable spending the time and money on?
Dutch, you want to take it first, and then I'll follow up?
You go ahead and take this and go.
Well, I personally think that the number of opportunities for people to view wrestling on so many different forms that you cannot compare the number of eyeballs and the number of people watching wrestling today the way that you did even 10 years ago, let's say, you know, 10, 15 years ago. It's a completely different world because there's so many different opportunities and so many different ways for a wrestling fan to get their fix, whether it is via television or the internet. There's a million different avenues. The YouTube channel for GFW product is doing huge numbers. You add that to the television, not on the greatest network in pop. However, at the same time, compared to everything else there, hey, they're doing all right. But I think that there are so many different avenues for people to get their wrestling fix, and there are so many hours of wrestling available to a wrestling fan that the days of measuring a television rating is the only way to measure success, those days are long gone. So I think that there may not be as many people that are watching television, one particular show every single week. However, I do think that they sample the product different ways throughout the week in every avenue that there is, whether it be internet, television, what have you.
I agree along with Bruce, because the model that we use today is nowhere close to what it was 10 years ago, definitely not 20 years ago, because they went strictly off ratings and viewership. Now you have, like Bruce said, you have the social media and you have the internet channels and you have this and you have that. And you have all kind of things that wrestling eyeballs can get out. And this happens ever so often. You have an explosion of wrestling interest. I remember maybe 20 years ago, you know, it kind of got big. Not like it is now, because some of these independent shows that you go to, they may draw 1,000 people, 2,000 people. And I've been to a lot of shows with the big companies sometimes that didn't draw 1,000 people. Those were the days that we would drive between the towns and sometimes wondered what the house is going to be like, and we would worry. But those things have changed, and we're trying to get as many eyeballs on it as possible. A lot of your independent groups, they have different styles, different models they use, and they draw their own niche of fans. And I think in GFW, we're trying to do the same thing. And we will get there, but it's going to be by trial and error. That's one of the reasons I'm here. That's one of the reasons Bruce is here, to guide this ship to see if we can get as many eyeballs and as many wrestling fans as we can to tune in to GFW Wrestling.
Hello, Bruce. Hello, Dutch. Julian Cannon from Alternative Minds and the Wrestling Court Podcast. I would like to know, is there any update of Rey Mysterio coming into GFW?
The latest I heard that negotiations
we're not officially underway, but unofficially we're talking to him, and he would be a great addition. I can't add anything to that other than what you've said and I've said, but I think he'd be a great addition to GFW, and we would welcome him here.
All righty.
This is Mike McMahon from PW Torch. This is sort of for both of you guys. We hear people always talk about how the shows need to be live. I don't necessarily think that's the case. Are there advantages to taping the television the way you guys tape them when you're taping, you know, multiple episodes over a course of a number of days? What are some of the inherent advantages in being able to tape on a schedule like that?
Well, the advantage is definitely cost, because you can cum your costs and you can be able to spread that out, and you're not having the addition of traveling back and forth every single week on a weekly basis to do live television. In addition to that, you also have your television production costs, that live satellites and what have you. Those are just simple economics of production, and the advantages on that part sometimes outweigh the advantages of being able to go live with the surprise element and the live feel. I'm a live TV guy. I love live television. However, sometimes you have to just look at the basic economics of whether or not it's feasible to be able to do that. And when it is feasible, I'm sure we're going to do it. But at the same time, the advantages of being able to have all of your television done, be able to then take the time that you need in post-production to make that product the very best it can as well. And when you're live, man, you got one shot at it, and that's it, and it's out there. So that's my two cents.
Much in agreement with Bruce. Live does have its advantages, but it also has disadvantages too, because live TV, anything can happen on live TV, and whoever is at that go position or who's at that headset better be willing to step it up and make a decision right on the spot. The reason for being for doing block taping, as I call it, it's strictly the economic factor. Because if you did shows, see, like WWE does, or if we did a live show by itself, a standalone show, the number is almost astronomical. I saw the number the other day and I couldn't believe it. But when you take these shows, package them up, put them together under one roof, and you have one setup cost and one knockdown cost, and you travel and all that, it does lessen the money you're putting out, and it's strictly a budget issue. Creatively, I think it's live against pre-tape. Doesn't really, I don't really prefer one or the other. I guess if it came down to it, I would say I would like live. Because
live is more exciting to me, and I think it's more exciting to the fans.
Hello there. My name's Francis. I'm from In Ring Pop. My question is to Bruce, really. You've been over in the UK over the last couple of weeks for your UK tour. First thing, how did you find the UK fans and over there with this guy in for taping locations or maybe even a UK pay-per-view over there, something like that?
Well, first of all, the tour was great, and I found the fans to be absolutely amazing. It was a great time, and it was a great week. I truly believe, and I got asked this question every single night, was, you know, at some point, do I see a major company being able to produce a pay-per-view from the United Kingdom? And my answer is yes, because now versus way back when, I think that the opportunity to do that, it can be more economical if you compare it with some other things. And the way that people view television and the way people view the product now, as I said earlier, the same thing to the gentleman that asked about the eyeballs on the product. Being able to distribute it via the internet and being able to distribute it live and make it an event, I don't think people say, I only want my wrestling pay-per-views on Sunday at 7 o'clock.
I think if you were to deliver something to them that was unique, that they are interested in, they'll tune in at 12 o'clock in the afternoon or 1 o'clock in the afternoon. They'll buy it. Maybe they'll watch it a little bit later. I don't watch live TV anymore. I DVR everything, and I go back and I watch it at my leisure, you know, where I can fast forward through commercials. And I think most of my friends and most of the people that I know, if you were to ask in the business, that's how people view TV now. So I think I hope I answered your question. I do believe that there are opportunities to present a huge event, a special event, be it pay-per-view, what have you, in the United Kingdom at some point, and probably closer in the near future than you think.
Hi, this is Rohit Nath talking from Sports Kira. Am I audible there?
I'm here.
How are both of you?
Great.
I'm having trouble understanding.
Am I audible right now?
Go ahead with your question.
Yeah, so I wanted to ask, how come GFW now is like currently promoting some current WWE superstars such as, you know, the Bollywood Boys and Bobby Roode and some other programming?
I'm sorry, somebody's going to have to repeat that one for me. I don't know what.
Hey, Ross, I didn't get the question. I don't think Bruce did either.
Yeah, we're going to move on to the next question. I could not hear it as well. So if you if that caller wants to chime back in, I will get your question again. None of us could hear it.
I think you did.
Julian Cannon. Oh, sorry, guys. Julian Cannon here again. Bruce, I would like to know, do you have any funny road stories with either Scott Steiner or Scott Hall?
Never traveled with either one of them, so unfortunately, no.
So I guess the question comes to me.
Scott Steiner is he's an original. Every day in Scott's life, am I answering this question or what's going on here?
Go ahead, Dutch.
No, I'm saying Scott Steiner's original. Every day with him is a special day because you don't know what he's going to say. You don't know what he's going to do. And I love Scott to death. I wish I could see him every day. He's a good friend of mine. But a lot of great stories about him. I can't pull any off the top of my head right now, but I was never with him when he did any of these crazy stories. I did hear one time that he used to throw bananas at the University of Michigan football coach when he would drive by. And him and his brother Rick would get out there. When the coach would drive by, they'd throw bananas and hit the car. So he told his football players to take care of them, but they had more sense. They didn't want to mess with Rick and Scott, so that never got done. So what the coach did, I think it was Schumbeckler, I think. I'm not sure. But I think that he went to the dean and had all his football players move out of that dorm to somewhere else so they wouldn't associate. So that's one of the Scott stories that I can tell today.
Hi, this is Alan Wojcik from Outside Interference Wrestling Radio in Tampa, Florida. My question's for both gentlemen. We recently interviewed Jeremy Borash, and one of the questions I had asked was about the current writing style of the organization, and he felt that this is the best current group of writing that you have. Since both of you have written by yourselves for promotions or written in writer's room type situations, is it a good thing or a bad thing that a lot of the promotions work a writer's room style now, like you would have on Saturday Night Live or other variety shows? Or is it better to be one person writing the show?
Well, let me take this and first, to be honest, one person cannot write this. The way we do it, one person would be so stretched so thinly that he wouldn't have time to go home at night. It takes a team to do this, and if you're pointing it toward WWE, they have like 25 writers for I don't know how many hours a week. They do 6 or 7 original hours a week. So you have to have writers, but there comes the problem. The writers have to have experience, and I don't know where they're going to get the experience with the writers going forward because in WWE, none of the writers were former wrestlers. None of them. None of them were former performers. Now, the agents were, and the producers were, but the writers, they went to school for journalism, or they went to school for English, or they went to school for creative writing, or something like that. But it doesn't necessarily mean that can make the jump to pro wrestling. I'll tell you a little story. I was up there one day, and I asked this guy, this writer, I said, let me ask you something. And he says, what is it? I said, where did you work before? And he said, well, I worked for the Rochester Daily News Journal. I said, oh, that's interesting. And then I told him, and he was very respectful, and I like all those guys up there. But then I told him, I said, you know, I'm not trying to be a smartass here. But, you know, writing for the Rochester Daily News Journal is not a wrestling writer made. And I don't think he understood it, but the wrestlers understand it. I don't think he understood it. But I think a team concept you have to do that now because of the sheer amount of work and volume that has to be done.
And having done it both, you know, been kind of a single writer on some things, and then just a couple of us to working with a large group, even when you're doing it by yourself or there's just a few of you that are doing it at one time, you're getting ideas from everybody. It's impossible for one person to be able to do it. And I think that the trick is, and the key is to get qualified creative minds all around you. I gave up the theory that they needed to come from the wrestling business a long time ago. However, I do believe that they have to have an appreciation for the wrestling business, and they have to understand and at least enjoy the product before they could just come in and start contributing. And I believe in life experience. I think that for someone to truly be passionate about a product or someone truly be passionate about a storyline, I would hope at some point in their life that they have at least experienced some of what they're talking about, not just dreaming about it or writing about it. If you're writing a love story and you've never been in love, it doesn't ring true. But someone who has actually been in love and someone who has actually been jilted by their girlfriend, they know how that feels, and they know how they can write about it. And it's the same thing in a wrestling business. If a guy has never been punched in the face, he doesn't know how to sell a punch in the face. So I believe experience in life and passion are the two biggest criteria that I would look for in a writer.
Yeah, this question is for Dutch. This is Adam Martin with WrestleView.com.
How are you, Adam?
I'm doing good, Dutch. How are you, sir? So we guys earlier were kind of answering part of my question, but I think I'm still able to ask kind of another one. You were talking about the different ways wrestling fans consume content right now, and Bruce mentioned not watching live TV and a lot of people using on-demand options. I talked to Jeff Jarrett a couple years ago when he was first beginning the GFW venture, and he was thinking pretty beyond cable television approach and even more of a Netflix, a Hulu kind of an outlet like that. You guys are currently in a long-term deal with Pop TV, at least that's what's been stated publicly. Is there any frustration with, you know, the lack of reach you'll get with a network like that, or are you comfortable in the fact that, you know, that's where you're at now, you have the outreach with digital, you obviously have the international television distribution? I know Jeremy Borash last week said the show got well over 3 million viewers in India, but what's your stance, Dutch, on being on Pop TV right now, and if that's where you're sticking with now, or if there's aspirations of maybe going elsewhere to try to grow the audience even more?
Well, we're not satisfied with that's just called social media. You know, you can't. I don't think you can bank your whole business on social media. It's part of it, and you can't bank your whole business on say Pop, because Pop in a lot of places it doesn't even have penetration. So if you tell somebody where you own Pop, well, I don't get Pop. Some cable systems just don't just they don't carry it. So sometimes you're at the mercy of your TV partner, and certainly we would like Pop to be bigger, but that's what we have right now, and we really work hard to bring Pop their audience. They've been a great partner, and we are working hard harder every day to get the GWF product out there, and I think thus far, and I've said this before, it's a work in progress, and it may change hourly. One thing about the wrestling business, you can't be satisfied with anything because the next 10 minutes it could change. Just we deal in real life situations, and we deal in budgets, which is actually one of the things I'm glad I don't deal with. I don't deal with the money issue. So all I deal with is with the creative and the consultant part of it. But we would like Pop to have greater reach. And Pop, if you listen to me, go out there and get on more cable systems and see if we can make this really, really good.
Hello again, it's Francis from In-Ring Pop. The main question I want to ask him, have you got any hints about the new look titles that you'll be unveiling soon?
We have combined the titles. We combined the GFW and the Impact titles into one. It's going to go down to one. It'll be the GFW Global Heavyweight Championship. The Knockouts title will remain the same, and the X Division title will remain the same name. So we'll pare it down. We're not going to have 42 belts out there. Everybody will be competing for one belt going forward.
Julian Cannon back here from the Wrestling Court. Bruce Pritchard, I would like to ask you, was there anything you've ever written that was rejected by Vince McMahon?
Tons of things. lots of things. I mean, that happens on a daily basis. You sit around, that's called the creative process. And you are constantly pitching and you are constantly discussing different ways to do things, and it's you may have an idea in your head of a way that you would like to do something and pitch it and everybody love it, and 3 days later that one idea may have completely evolved into something else totally. But a million of them, and you know, for every one that makes it to air, you probably got 100 that don't.
That question come to me?
Then we'll move on to the next question here.
Okay.
Hey, guys. Ryan Bowman from thegorillaposition.com. How you doing today?
Great.
How you doing?
First of all, thanks for giving us your time today. And, Dutch, this question's for you. You're legendary in Puerto Rico for just the massive ratings you had down there and your hard-hitting style. A lot of that's been borrowed by American wrestling companies over the years. How much of that... the kind of no frills, right in your face kind of style that you booked in Puerto Rico. How much of that do you think that you could parlay into global today? And I'll listen to your response. Thank you.
Okay. Well, it's by the sheer number of just the model that we use is totally different than Puerto Rico. I did 4 hours a week of original TV in Puerto Rico for like 3 or 4 or 5 straight years. So I was responsible for, I don't know, 4 hours a week times 50 is 52 weeks. Over 200 hours a year just in Puerto Rico alone. And I told, and an old-time booker told me one time, he said, if you're ever booking, he says, always do one thing. Of course, this is how you pick up knowledge in the wrestling business. He said, always book one thing that entertains you. So I did. I booked things that just sometimes entertained me. But in the process, I found out that it was entertaining the people as well. And the way I booked Puerto Rico was sometimes I would go to the shows that we did at TVs on Saturday night. I would go to the show with, I wouldn't even think about it during the week. I'd just go to the show and make it up on the spot because I would listen to the people. They would tell me, they were the bookers, the fans were the bookers. They told me what they wanted, and all I did is when I went back into the office, I just wrote down what I thought they wanted for the next week, and they kept coming, and they kept coming, and they kept coming. Sometimes I would have ratings in Puerto Rico. I didn't do it. The TV show did. It did an 18 rating.
and it was just a cage match, and it the territory was just warm, it was just hot. And when the numbers came in, I said, that's impossible. And they said, no, that's what it is, the 18th. We always did like a 12, always, when I was there. Now, it has gone down to, when I first took over one company down there, they were doing a 2.6. And I told them, I said, guys, this is not acceptable. A Viagra commercial will get a 2.6. And they didn't have too good a sense of humor, so they didn't get that. But I slowly built it, and it was a hard-hitting show. It was brutal but entertaining, and I didn't ever really do anything that was offensive or that was against women, because I had a lot of kids coming, a lot of kids. And when the kids come, they bring the parents, and when they come, they all buy the merchandise. And so it was I had a good system there, and I always, one of my rules, I always said, when I like my child, if he's 5 or 6 years old, to come watch this. And I've never been a big believer in bad words and all that, so I cut all that out, and it worked. So,
hey guys, Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net. When it comes to the Hardys, I know you guys don't have any say in the matter, but hypothetically, if you guys were approached and asked your opinion, is this battle worth it, considering the PR backlash there's been so far?
Well, from my point of view, I know absolutely nothing about it. So to be able to give you an opinion and give you a knowledgeable opinion, I couldn't, because there's always two sides to every story. And I think that regardless of what happened, you always have to remember that. And both sides may be right. Both sides could be wrong. I don't know. I don't know anything about it, so I am not going to comment, because I have absolutely no idea whatsoever. So that's my, because you would be getting a comment from someone that has zero knowledge about the situation. That's not fair to anybody.
I mean, I like Bruce. I try to stay out of the way. That's not my area of responsibility. And I actually know about as much as anybody else does, and I read it online myself. I don't go out of my way to ask questions. I think the company's position is IP law belongs to the employer, and that's the line they've taken. And whether the negotiations are still ongoing or not, I have no idea. But I hope it works out, and I think it will in the end, and I can just put all this stuff behind us, and let's move forward.
Gentlemen, this is Big Ray from OneWrestling.com. This question is for both Mr. Pritchard and Mr. Mantell regarding the departure, and I just wanted to hear your, and I'm sure a lot of us want to hear your thoughts and sincerest thoughts on the departure of Davey Richards from the company, sir. Gentlemen.
Well, let me handle this in both. I didn't even know he was studying to be a doctor. I knew he was a paramedic. I knew that. Him being a doctor, I wish him all the success in the world, because that is a profession where he can help people. He had a tremendous, tremendous passion for professional wrestling, and my dealings with him were very professional. But he, what always stuck out to me about him was that his passion for the business. He really had a passion, and I have seen some guys almost have a passion too much, but he had a passion for this business that I've really never seen in anybody else. And personally, as far as I'm concerned, I hate to see him go, and I wish him success, and the door is always open for him to return.
Yeah, and same here. You always hate to lose talent, but I know that he also has a passion elsewhere that he wants to pursue, and to not pursue that passion, shame on him if he doesn't, and I wish him nothing but the best of luck.
Ryan Ryder here for Main Event Radio. I'm wondering, with GFW going back on the road, if you think it's time to bring back the gut check.
I think that the gut check is something that the business needs. And what I mean by that is, I do believe that there's talent out there everywhere, no matter where you look. And if The company is going to go on the road, and I have zero say in it, and or know one way or another. Dutch would probably know a lot better than I would, but I'll give you my opinion. I think that any time you can get out and you can look, kind of scour through whatever is out there, I mean, that's where we find talent. We find talent in some of the most obscure places you would ever believe. But there's always going to be some diamond in the rough somewhere. So I don't think it hurts, and I think it's a good thing for the business to be able to provide an avenue for up-and-coming talent to be able to show their wares and maybe get noticed and get recognized. So I think it's a great thing.
You know, when you said gut check, I said, and I thought to myself, what the hell is gut check? I'd forgotten all about it. But now that Bruce has reminded me, I love gut check. I love to go out there and just see what people have developed basically on their own. Because sometimes you'll see a guy like, you don't know where talent's going to come from. Talent could walk in off the street tomorrow and be the biggest name in professional wrestling in a year than we've ever seen. So the gut check concept is a great concept, and I've really never been on one of those gut checks performances. But I would like to sit out there and just, as a fan, I would just like to see what a lot of the independents have produced. I actually think it may be good for just a show for the people to come and just see what wrestling is cultivating for future generations or the years coming up. So I like it. I like the concept of it, and I haven't heard whether we're going to reinstitute it or bring it back or anything. But I'm in favor of it.
Hi, Bruce. This is Raj Giri with WrestlingInc.com.
Hey, Raj.
When I spoke to you earlier this year, you had kind of talked about your time at TNA and how the ownership kind of hurt it with not being in the business. How much have things changed from your last run to the current one? And I want to ask the same question to Dutch when you're done.
Well, it's a completely different company from what I left. And walking into it, for me, from a talent standpoint and from being able to come in and who I'm working with now, you know, I got to go in, I'm working with Jeff. and that's it's just a completely different environment from what it was before. And when I sit there and I talk to him and we talk about the business and we talk about the future, I believe that there's actually an understanding when we talk to one another back and forth. That wasn't there before. I do believe that the folks at Anthem have placed their confidence in him and the folks like Dutch and Jeremy and the different people that are involved now to allow the people that know what the hell they're doing, allow them to do it and not try and come in and say, no, you know what, we do this up here in Canada, so I want you to do it this way because that's how we do it. They're actually allowing the business to be run, and they're listening to folks who have actually done it before. So the environment is night and day. And that was, frankly, that was one of the, I wouldn't say a criteria. It wasn't, I didn't make any demands or anything like that. But it was one of the selling points of me coming back into the fold. So it's a completely different company in a short answer than what it was when I left.
And I have to say what Bruce said, it's totally different. Again, we've talked about models, and we've talked about this and that and the other, but ownership sets the tone. From top to bottom, it sets the tone. And when I was here before, the tone I always thought was a little bit off. And I'm going to be perfectly honest here. When I was here before, I didn't know who ran the company, to tell you the truth. I didn't know who was in charge. Well, this guy was in charge, or Dixie was in charge, or someone else. I don't know. In WWE, you have one guy in charge, and that's Vince McMahon. And when it goes to him, it's like going to the Supreme Court, and his word is final. That's just exactly what it's going to be. But in TNA, and this is not a knock on them. It's not. It was just, sometimes it was a rudderless ship, and we were just floating out in the water a lot of times. So that's the difference here. Anthem's taken over, and you know, they put certain people in charge. You do this, and you go handle this, and you don't have that. They don't tell you how to handle it. They just tell you this is your area of responsibility, and they let you run with it. And you'll run as far as you're successful, and if you're not successful, guess what business does? Business says, well, we've got to get somebody else. And everybody understands that. So, but I think so far we're running it well. I think it's doing well. And again, it's still a work in progress, so we're not there. So that's my answer.
Hello, this is Nick Houseman with WrestleZone.com. Thanks for taking the time to chat today, guys.
Thank you.
My question was, I saw Johnny Mundo is advertised for an upcoming Impact Wrestling Live event. I didn't know what the relationship was like between GFW and Lucha Underground right now. I was wondering if you guys could shed some light on that.
Well, we are talking, and what GFW is trying to do, and Impact is trying to do, we're trying to bring all these outliers in. We're trying to bring Crash. We brought Crash in, and we brought a Noah in, and Triple A in, and we're trying to bring in Lucha Underground. We're trying to get a working relationship with all these other companies. And this benefits everybody. That means they're not, say a talent comes in from Lucha Underground. They won't sign a big long-term deal. Well, it'll be a short-term deal. And it's good for the fans because people don't wow out their welcome. And it gets them on our television show. It gets publicity out about the group they came in from, and I think it's a great working relationship for everybody, for the talent, for creative, and for the fans. I'm highly in favor of it.
Hey, gentlemen, it's Mike Johnson from PW Insider. Hope you're having a good day.
How was your trip to New Mexico?
It was amazing. I loved it. Yeah. I want to move there.
Yeah, I saw some of your pictures on Twitter. Very good.
Absolutely loved it. Great so, we during this conference, you've talked to different things about television production and the GFW product. Each of you, however, are very astute in the old school ways of professional wrestling, how television was shot. Dutch, you talked a little bit about Puerto Rico. You were part of one of the hottest periods in Memphis history. Bruce, you started in Houston. What aspects of the old school pro wrestling television can be brought back to 21st century professional wrestling, even with the changes in technology, and still work? Because one of the things I always hear from readers is, oh, I miss it was like the way it was in the 80s. I miss the way it was in the 70s. And obviously not everything is going to work. Landscapes change. The audience has changed. Technology has changed. But there have to be aspects of the old school pro wrestling, whether it be the type of promos or the physicality that's presented in the ring, or even the way the show is formatted, that can be used by GFW to its advantage. What aspects of it would you like to see brought back? What aspects of it could still work today? And if they can still work today, why haven't we seen them thus far in this current rendition of GFW?
Well, I'll tell you just simply overall focus and simplicity. Focus on the stars you want to get over. Make it simple. Make it easy to understand. And the audience will get it. I think sometimes there is a tendency to overcomplicate and overthink things and try to, for a long time, the business was all about swerving and outsmarting the audience because some people knew. You know, frankly, that segment of the audience was so small that it became almost comical that we were even worried about those type of things. But I think that when you make your storyline simple and you focus on a few things and you work really hard to get those few things over, that you'll be surprised by how the business, everything else underneath falls into place. So I know that sounds really, really vague and broad, but it's also the simplicity of it all, in my opinion. And that was something I was taught way, way early on. And I go back to when I was 12 years old and timing out a television show in Houston, Texas. It was a 90-minute show. And the promoter telling me, keep it simple. And that stuck with me my whole career.
Well, Mike, we could talk all night about this. One thing that
I think that pro wrestling and every other company that follows WWF, now WWE, they've allowed WWE to set the standard for what a wrestling show should be. Because every week, almost, WWE comes out there, and they have a long talking segment. Now, I don't know about you, but after a while, they talk me out. And I kind of lose interest, and I think a lot of fans, they kind of lose interest if that first segment is not really, really compelling. And I've seen a lot of first segments that weren't compelling, believe me. But I've even went to an independent show, and they opened the show up with this long talking segment to set up the rest of the match. So we've allowed WWE to kind of set the standard. As far as I agree with Bruce, if you keep your stories simple, and I know Tom Brooker told me one time, he said, kid, don't ever do anything, give everything for like a 10-year-old kid could understand it. Because when it's simple, when you watch a movie and it gets kind of difficult and you say, what the hell are they doing? You've lost your fans. You've lost. I've actually gotten up to some movies and walked out, and they said, why? I said, well, I didn't understand the movie. I tried to get my money back because they wouldn't give it back to me. So. But one thing you got to remember is keep it simple and listen to your fans. Your fans, like I was talking about Puerto Rico a little earlier, listen to your fans, and they will tell you exactly what's getting over. Now, the beauty about Raw and the beauty about SmackDown, you can listen to those fans, and they will tell you if they like something. And this is another thing I think that wears thin on wrestling fans is the shows are way, way too long. Anything over 2 hours, to me, is a chore. If I went to a movie and said, the movie is 2 hours and 45 minutes, well, guess what? I ain't friggin' going to the thing. 3 hours, that's almost a commitment. But every week on Raw, and I appreciate what they do. I really do. And I really respect Vince McMahon for being the businessman he is. But 3 hours, for me, I'm not going to it. So there's a lot of things we can bring back. I think, you know, if you could get a TV package at work or an outlier package at work under 2 hours, I'd be in favor of it. Because the 90-minute show in Memphis, the big show in Memphis that we set records on, was a 90-minute show, which is really the perfect time for a wrestling show. Puerto Rico is 2 hours. Well, I can put up with 2 hours. I can fill 2 hours with compelling content because every segment has to grab somebody. They got to be interested in it. So if you've got a show, a two-hour show, and you've got five stories going or four stories going, you got a lot of content to put in there and content that is compelling and will hold a viewer.
Hey, Bruce, and hey, Bob Dutch, Julian Cannon again from the Wrestling Court and Alternative Minds. I would like to know, will there be a future tag team version of the TNA World Cup? And also, what are your thoughts of Kenny Omega?
I haven't seen enough of Kenny Omega to have thoughts about him. I've seen the one match that everybody thought was 417 stars because it was held in the Tokyo Dome. I thought that... that, you know, not my style, but the guys worked really hard, and I've always been a big fan of Okada, but I haven't seen enough of Kenny to really say one way or another to give you an honest opinion about him. But on the World Cup stuff, I'm going to give that one to Dutch.
Well, I don't understand. I don't think I understood the World Cup question that you asked, but as of right now, I don't... It hasn't been talked about. That's all I can say right now. But Kenny Omega, I never met the man. I actually never saw. I may have seen him in one match. But my opinion of his type of style, if there's a market for it, go do it. Because apparently he's very good at it, so I wish him all the success in the world. Now, a lot of people, they say, oh, well, that's not wrestling, that's not this, that's not that. Well, they say that about music, too. Well, and that's how you got all the different styles of music. And they all have followings. They all have festivals every year. Like hard metal music was not my type of music, but still, very successful. Rap music is not my music, but still, very, very successful. If there's a market for it, go do it. So Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks, more power to them. I want them to make as much money as they can, entertain as many fans as they can. So good luck to them.
I'll use an example that Pat Patterson and I always used to use that drove Ben's nuts. You know what? It's chocolate and vanilla. It's all ice cream, but some people prefer chocolate. Some people prefer vanilla. Some people like butter pecan. So it's a matter of taste.
It is. Totally.
Hey, guys, this is Tommy McArdle from ringscoops.com again. Earlier, somebody brought up gut check. My question is, if it were to return, would you have it exclusive to just the wrestlers, or would you be open to allowing, like, referees and commentators to join gut check?
Well, I would have something. But announcers wouldn't be gut check. It would be a form of it. You'd have to, I guess, call it something else. But and referees, I would have nothing against that.
Yeah, to me, gut check is all about the guys in the ring, and it's all about the wrestlers, and I want to see how they work a crowd, and I want to see how they're accepted by a crowd. So for me, that's a tough call on referees and commentators because it's a different skill set.
Hello there. Again, it's Francis from In Ring Pop. And my question to both is, who would you like to see in the next GFW Hall of Fame? Any ideas here? Any particular people you want to put in?
In the GFW Hall of Fame, Bruce, who would you suggest?
Hadn't really thought about it, so I don't really know. Haven't really thought about it.
I really haven't thought about it.
That's really a tough one off the top of my head. I don't know. Dutch Mantel. Oh.
Yes.
That would be who I'd put in.
Oh, Dutch Mantel?
Yeah.
I refuse to join any organization that would have me as a member. That's all I can say. Yeah, that's okay. I haven't really thought about. So, until they issue the invitation and I second it, I wouldn't know what to tell you.
Gentlemen, this is Big Ray for OneWrestling.com again. Let's talk about the future of Global Force Wrestling and the roster. You have multitude of talents there, Ethan Carter III being one of them. Are there any efforts in re-signing him and making him maybe the head of your or the face of your company? Not the head of your company, but the face of your company going moving forward. And or are there any other talents out there that are on the roster currently that you're going to be focusing on actually pushing to be, well, the new face of GFW moving forward? And this question is for both gentlemen. Thank you.
Well, I think EC3 would you know, quite naturally be in the elite group that we're working on. I think Moose would be one of them. And Bobby Lashley, he's already there. So we have several high profile candidates. Eli Drake would be another one. So I think we have the talent, but it's up to us to mold this talent into the entities that we want them to be, and to get them ready to go to a higher level and to a higher position on the card.
And, you know, I'm going to contradict that a little bit because I think it's up to the talent. I think it's up to the talent to go out every single opportunity that they have to get in front of an audience and get in front of anybody else and make a splash and make a name for themselves. The cream rises to the top, and if you go out there and you just make it where you cannot be denied, where you steal the show in every single situation that you are given, then the powers that be, you know, it's not about the push, and that's one thing. You can give anybody the greatest idea and the push, as you guys like to talk about. If the talent can't go out there and deliver it, doesn't matter. So it's up to the talent to go out, steal the show, and make the very most of whatever opportunity that they're given at any given time.
We have the time right at about an hour now, so we're going to get just a couple more questions in. And Rohit, I have your question, and we will get to that that we could not understand earlier. So bear with us. We're going to go for a few more questions here.
Okay.
Hi, this question is for Dutch and or Bruce. Do you guys have any updates regarding Alberto El Patron's suspension, if it's been lifted following him being cleared as a suspect with the Page incident?
He's already cleared as a suspect. I mean, he's not going to, the Orlando Police Department, as far as I know, said that he wouldn't be charged, and we're still conducting an internal review of it because it's something we don't take lightly. And when that's completed, we'll release our findings.
Yeah, this is Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net again. Bruce, I'm curious if there's anything preventing you contractually from doing GFW episodes on your podcast in the future. And I'll add to that by saying I've always wondered what Jeff Jarrett, well, you know, thinks about your impersonation of his father.
Well, first of all, thank you for listening. Second of all, you know, hey, it's sometime in the future. We open that show up. My show's all about pretty much my time in the wrestling business. I hate talking about current. No, that's bad. We don't talk about the current product. We started that when we first started the podcast, and it was a no-win place to go. So I like to just keep it focused on my past experience in the wrestling business. You know, I did two on TNA, which are some of my most downloaded shows that we've ever done. And we have found that our audience, because we go right to them and say, what do you want to hear? And we get feedback from them for what to put on polls. And most of the time, it's strange. It stays kind of in that 94 to 2004 time frame, and that seems to be what the audience mainly craves. I personally enjoy going back even further and telling, you know, it's all about old stories. And maybe in 5 years, if I'm still doing it, you know, we'll be doing some GFW subject matter. But right now, we're not doing the current product, so we're talking about just old times and going where the audience wants us to go.
Hey guys, this is Dan Bilotti with Boston Wrestling Sports. I was wondering if you thought there was a chance, either short term or long term, where GFW might implement a Netflix or WWE Network type platform to monetize the 15-year archives that you guys have, and maybe even expand the pay-per-view schedule a little bit, where you have a live one with each television taping cycle down in Orlando.
You never say never, especially with somebody like Anthem Sports involved. That is probably a very real possibility at some point in time. I don't know what their, you know, what their plans are, but I do know, you know, they obviously have the skills, capability, and platform to do it. So never say never.
And I have heard that inroads of that they've reached out, and there possibly some talks are going to be held in the future. And that's as far as I know about it, but it is a possibility.
Hey guys, Tommy McArdle from ringscoops.com here again. This question goes to both of you. What all goes into writing a nationwide weekly wrestling television show, and how does it compare to booking a non-televised independent wrestling event?
What is your name?
Tommy McArdle.
Hi, Tommy. Well, if you just book an independent show, you're just concerned about that show. You just want that show to be successful, and maybe another one in a month. But you got time to think about it. Writing a weekly 2-hour show, there's a lot that goes into it, a lot of thinking that goes into it. Sometimes we hit it, sometimes we don't hit it, sometimes we miss it completely. But that's life. But the key comes in is when you miss it, you recognize you missed it, and you go back and you try to fix it or move it or do something else with it, or even drop it and go to something else. So to put a 2-hour show to bed, when you sit down with a group of 5 other people, 6 other people, and you got to keep in mind, you got to kind of, it's almost like a Senate. You kind of get opinions of everybody. And I've never really been a huge fan of committees, but in some cases you can't avoid it. But and everybody's working for the same cause. We're always working for the best product we can get.
Sometimes it comes out, sometimes it doesn't. And in answer to your question, if you put a little independent show together, you book 5, 6, 7 matches or whatever you're going to book, and you go in there and you put the show on and you play some music and you get your announcer up there. And it's, actually, independent shows are a lot more fun to put together than a two-hour TV show that's going to go nationwide. So there's a lot of big, big differences. It's cars and toy trucks.
I don't think I could say it any better than that.
We have the time right at about an hour now, so we're going to get just a couple more questions in. And Rohit, I have your question, and we will get to that that we could not understand earlier. So bear with us. We're going to go for a few more questions here.
Okay.
Hi, this question is for Dutch and or Bruce. Do you guys have any updates regarding Alberto El Patron's suspension, if it's been lifted following him being cleared as a suspect with the Page incident?
Now, he's already cleared as a suspect. I mean, he's not going to – the Orlando Police Department, as far as I know, said that he wouldn't be charged, and we're still conducting an internal review of it because it's something we don't take lightly. And when that's completed, we'll release our findings.
You may now ask your question.
Yeah, this is Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net again. Bruce, I'm curious if there's anything preventing you contractually from doing GFW episodes on your podcast in the future. And I'll add to that by saying I've always wondered what Jeff Jarrett, well, you know, thinks about your impersonation of his father.
Well, first of all, thank you for listening. Second of all, you know, hey, it's sometime in the future.
Muted.
We open that show up. My show's all about pretty much my time in the wrestling business. I hate talking about current. No, that's bad. We don't talk about the current product. We started that when we first started the podcast, and it was a no-win place to go. So I like to just keep it focused on my past experience in the wrestling business. You know, I did 2 on TNA, which are some of my most downloaded shows that we've ever done. And we have found that our audience, because we go right to them and say, what do you want to hear? And we get feedback from them for what to put on polls. And most of the time, it's strange. It stays kind of in that 94 to 2004 time frame, and that seems to be what the audience mainly craves. I personally enjoy going back even further and telling, you know, it's all about old stories. And maybe in 5 years, if I'm still doing it, you know, we'll be doing some GFW subject matter. But right now, we're not doing the current product, so we're talking about just old times and going where the audience wants us to go.
Hey, guys, this is Dan Marotti with Boston Wrestling Sports. I was wondering if you thought there was a chance, either short-term or long-term, where GFW might implement a Netflix or WWE Network-type platform to monetize the 15-year archives that you guys have, and maybe even expand the pay-per-view schedule a little bit, where you have a live one with each television taping cycle down in Orlando.
You never say never, especially with somebody like Anthem Sports involved. That is probably a very real possibility at some point in time. I don't know what their plans are, but I do know, you know, they obviously have the skills, capability, and platform to do it. So never say never.
And I have heard that inroads they've reached out, and there possibly some talks are going to be held in the future. And that's as far as I know about it, but it is a possibility.
Hey, guys. Tommy McCardle from ringscoops.com here again. This question goes to both of you. What all goes into writing a nationwide weekly wrestling television show, and how does it compare to booking a non-televised independent wrestling event?
What is your name?
Tommy McCardle.
Hi, Tommy. Well,
if you just book an independent show, you're just concerned about that show. You just want that show to be successful, and maybe another one in a month. But you got time to think about it. Writing a weekly 2-hour show, there's a lot that goes into it, a lot of thinking that goes into it. Sometimes we hit it, sometimes we don't hit it, sometimes we miss it completely. But that's life. But the key comes in is when you miss it, you recognize you missed it, and you go back and you try to fix it or move it or do something else with it, or even drop it and go to something else. So to put a 2-hour show to bed when you sit down with a group of 5 other people, 6 other people, and you got to keep in mind, you got to kind of, it's almost like a Senate. You kind of get opinions of everybody. And I've never really been a huge fan of committees, but in some cases you can't avoid it. But and everybody's working for the same cause. We're always working for the best product we can get. Sometimes it comes out, sometimes it doesn't. And in answer to your question, if you put a little independent show together, you book 5, 6, 7 matches or whatever you're going to book, and you go in there and you put the show on and you play some music and you get your announcer up there. And actually, independent shows are a lot more fun put together than a 2-hour TV show that's going to go nationwide. So there's a lot of big difference. It's cars and toy trucks.
I don't think I could say it any better than that.
We now have the question from earlier that came from Rohit at Sportskeeda, and this is for Dutch. I'll just ask the questions which he emailed over to me. With GFW Amplified now airing, it means that GFW is promoting some current WWE superstars such as the Bollywood Boys and Bobby Roode. How do you feel about this?
Well, these are already in the can. We had them, and Bobby Roode worked here for, well, he got his start here, really. And before company was GWF, it was TNA. And he got his start here. And the Bollywood Boys, I remember when they started, when we went to India, we needed people that were familiar with the culture, familiar with the country, and familiar with the language. And they were, and that's where they got their start. And what was the other part of that question, Ross? What was the other part of it?
How do you feel about promoting some of the guys who are now in WWE?
Well, I feel good about it. I don't see anything wrong with it, or we wouldn't be doing it. Bobby Roode's a great talent. The Bollywood Boys are a great talent. And, you know, we can't look at how we feel about it. We got to look at how the fans will take it, and I think they'll take it well.
Perfect. We have time for one final question. Ryan, once again, you got the final question.
Hello?
Ryan, are you there?
Hey, guys. Sorry about that. Sorry, guys. Bruce, you were up in WWF, WWE for so many years, and you've seen how the show was produced, and Dutch talked a little bit about that same formula every week. How do you feel about changing the optics of Global, maybe different camera shots, different types of lighting, and kind of give it even more of a unique look from the other product? So, thanks, guys,
well,
for your time.
I'm going to sound like Jim Cornette here for a second. Usually two guys, two wrestlers in a wrestling ring having a wrestling match on a wrestling card. There are only so many ways that you can shoot it that is going to be aesthetically pleasing to a television viewer. And I say that to say, not to sound arrogant, but I've tried them all. I've done the 3D effect and had cameras in. We've done the 360 camera. I just did that test in Dickinson, or in Texas City, I beg your pardon, with Booker T's Reality of Wrestling down here. Different ways to shoot. I think that it comes down to what's the best way to shoot for the television audience, and I think that what we're doing right now with what we have is the best way to do it, because you still have to look at it is how can you tell this story for a television viewer? And special effects and special production techniques and all that is not going to enhance the story. And the story is the match itself telling that story. And you want to be able to show that the best way that you can. And usually that's going to be post-to-post. And what I mean by post-to-post is both guys in the ring and having a lot of emotion, and those guys depending on them to tell the story. There's not a lot more production-wise, in my opinion, that can be done. We've put cameras in the ring. We've put cameras on referees.
And in the corner. Top.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
And up top.
I think we've exhausted all of those, in my opinion.
I think we should just turn the lights out and leave them out, and you just hear the audio. Now, let your imagination...
There's another way, yeah.
Yeah, let your imagination do the work. Yeah, I agree with Bruce. It doesn't enhance the story at all. And then a lot of times, it kind of, it's, to me, it's irritating sometimes. It's like going to a movie, and all of a sudden you got these great special effects, and it's all computer-generated, and oh, wow, it's great, it's great, it's great. But you think back on the story, you don't even remember the story sometimes. If the story doesn't carry the movie, then the special effects will get you there. And I see why they do it, to make a character look different, but, you know, you might reach a point of diminishing returns, and it's not even worth it. So I don't know how else we could shoot it that would make it different.
Bruce and Dutch, I appreciate your time very much. Very informative, very educational weekly teleconference. Guys, any final thought?
Thank you very much for having me. Anytime, and always love to talk wrestling. But I'm excited about the future because, again, if you don't have alternatives and you don't have something else, the business dies. And I'm excited for the future because there's a lot of great young talent out there, and I believe in GFW to be able to bring it out into the public and give you a choice and give you some new faces to look at and get behind.
Yeah. I agree with what Bruce said. But, guys, I've never done a teleconference before, ever. I've done interviews, individual interviews, but never a teleconference. And if you'd have told me years ago we'd be doing this and having all you guys call in and ask us questions, you know, that's not the way the wrestling business worked, because we were a closed society, and we might have done, and I talked to Ross about this a little earlier, we may have done one interview a year with the local newspaper reporter. But now, since it's expanded, and we're going to try to be more transparent about what we're doing, that's where we find ourselves here today. I love this. I like talking to you guys. I think when we get the word out, and I would hope that if we needed you guys for something or to get something out, you would all help us, because we certainly want to help you. I'm glad for all the talent that's being produced. I want to take a look at all of it. The door is always not necessarily open, but you can come in and talk to us and contact us, and we'd like to take a look at you, because our bottom line is the fans. If they like it, then we got a business. If they don't, because the fans are the final judges on what we do. So I'm like Bruce. I'm excited about it. I'm excited to be here, because when I finish up in WWE, you know, I thought my whole, you know, my wrestling days were completely over, and then I get this call, and I'm back in it. What's that old saying? The harder you try to get out, the more they suck you back in. Well, I'm here, but I'm enjoying this ride, and I hope everybody else is too. Thank you all you guys for calling in and showing your interest.
Once again, everybody, thank you very much. Next week, right back here on Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for the prettiest teleconference we've had to date. Thank you again very much.